The cultural equivalent of genetic drift is a persuasive option, one that we cannot neglect when thinking about the evolution of religion. Language evolves in a quasi-biological way, and the direction its evolution takes looks undirected, pretty much like random drift. It is handed down by a cultural analogue of genetics, changing slowly over the centuries until eventually various strands have diverged to the point of mutual unintelligibility. It is possible that some of the evolution of language is guided by a kind of natural selection, but that argument doesn't seem very persuasive. I'll explain below that some such idea has been proposed for major trends in language, like the Great Vowel Shift, which took place in English from the 15th to the 18th century. But such a functional hypothesis is not necessary to explain most of what we observe. It seems probable that language normally evolves by the cultural equivalent of random genetic drift. In different parts of Europe, Latin drifted to become Spanish, Portuguese, Italian, French, Romance, and the various dialects of these languages. It is, to say the least, not obvious that these evolutionary shifts reflect local advantages or selection pressures. I surmise that religions, like languages, evolve with sufficient randomness from beginnings that are sufficiently arbitrary to generate the bewildering, and sometimes dangerous, richness of diversity that we observe. At the same time, it is possible that a form of natural selection, coupled with the fundamental uniformity of human psychology, sees to it that the diverse religions share significant features in common. Many religions, for example, teach the objectively implausible but subjectively appealing doctrine that our personalities survive our bodily death. The idea of immortality itself survives and spreads because it caters to wishful thinking. And wishful thinking counts because human psychology has a near universal tendency to let belief be coloured by desire.
There seems to be no doubt that many of the attributes of religion are well fitted to helping the religion's own survival and the survival of the attributes concerned in the stew of human culture. The question now arises of whether the good fit is achieved by intelligent design or by natural selection. The answer is probably both. On the side of design, religious leaders are fully capable of verbalizing the tricks that aid the survival of religion. Martin Luther was well aware that reason was religion's archenemy, and he frequently warned of its dangers.
Reason is the greatest enemy that faith has. It never comes to the aid of spiritual things, but more frequently than not struggles against the divine word, treating with contempt all that emanates from God.
Again,
whoever wants to be a Christian should tear the eyes out of his reason.
And again,
reason should be destroyed in all Christians.
Luther would have had no difficulty in intelligently designing unintelligent aspects of a religion to help it survive. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he or anyone else did design it. It could also have evolved by a non-genetic form of natural selection, with Luther not its designer, but a shrewd observer of its efficacy.
Even though conventional Darwinian selection of genes might have favoured psychological predispositions that produced religion as a byproduct, it is unlikely to have shaped the details. I have already hinted that if we are going to apply some form of selection theory to those details, we should look not to genes, but to their cultural equivalents. Are religions such stuff as memes are made on? Tread softly, because you tread on my memes.
Truth, in matters of religion, is simply the opinion that has survived. Oscar Wilde.
This chapter began with the observation that, because Darwinian natural selection abhors waste, any ubiquitous features of a species, such as religion, must have conferred some advantage, or it wouldn't have survived. But I hinted that the advantage doesn't have to redound to the survival or reproductive success of the individual. As we saw, advantage to the genes of the cold virus sufficiently explains the ubiquity of that miserable complaint among our species. And it doesn't even have to be genes that benefit. Any replicator will do. Genes are only the most obvious examples of replicators. Other candidates are computer viruses and memes, units of cultural inheritance, and the topic of this section. If we are to understand memes, we have first to look a little more carefully at exactly how natural selection works. In its most general form, natural selection must choose between alternative replicators. A replicator is a piece of coded information that makes exact copies of itself, along with occasional inexact copies or mutations. The point about this is the Darwinian one. Those varieties of replicator that happen to be good at getting copied become more numerous at the expense of alternative replicators that are bad at getting copied.